Oh, yeah. I'm just getting better and better at that fade. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you guys are listening to the baddest podcast on this planet, the Carolyn and Joe Show! Good God! How's it going, Carolyn?
I'm happy to be back.
I'm happy to be back, too.
This is, like, our first show that is not, like, an awesome con podcast repeat.
It's crazy because, in a way, I love giving everyone this content, this amazing, free, exclusive content from on the Carolyn and Joe Show, but... You know, sometimes you got to talk, too. I want to talk. This is why we're here, so we can talk.
Yeah, like, the AwesomeCon panels that are recorded are awesome because if you weren't there, you can still at least get some of the information and listen.
That's right.
To the audio, which is great. But then also, I'm like, we haven't talked in a few weeks.
That's right. And just as a reminder, everyone, my name is Joe Carabello. I am a filmmaker. I am a writer. I am a musician, and sometimes I'm a photographer, too. Whatever you want to call me, across me is the greatest cartoonist I've ever known. I'm not shy from saying that. She's also one of the greatest minds on this planet, and her name is Carolyn Bilewski. Carolyn.
Yes.
Happy for you to be back, right? You're good.
Yeah.
You're good here.
I'm great.
Really good just to cut loose and just let it all spit out.
It's all here, baby.
It's been a long time. A lot of stuff has happened.
Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby! Carolyn Joe Show, baby!
Yeah.
Just want to talk, man. Just want to let it all out. I've been on this awesome James Brown kick. I don't even remember if I was listening to James Brown before Awesome Con or what, or if I even did any of that.
I think it was a little after Awesome Con. Now, was it the biopic movie that got you on?
Get on up. I don't even know why. It was one of those. I heard it was coming out, you know. And I was like, cool, you know, I dig James Brown and all that stuff. But now, like, I remember I watched it during my lunch break because I'm editing all day long sometimes. I'm near lunch break. And it was on TV. And I just would catch it, like, halfway or, like, in the beginning. And I was like, oh, this must be Get On Up. And I was, like, going to check it out, you know. And I don't know. It just instantly is a reminder, you know, that, like, because my guitar style playing and that type of music, that the groove. You know, all that stuff, I'm always into that stuff.
So what is the groove?
The groove is something you feel. It's something that's just that heartbeat that you feel inside. And then ever since watching that, like, I just really connected. So I got, like, all that music. I've been listening to it. And I don't know.
It's good
just,
to rediscover it.
It is great. And it just really connected with me.
Didn't we get a James Brown CD? Didn't I pick one up at... they had some type of warehouse sale at the American Visionary Museum in Baltimore.
I have no idea.
Remember, they had, like, CDs they were clearing out. And the CDs were, like, $1 or 50 cents
was
or something.
It?
I could have sworn I got a James Brown from there.
Probably, maybe.
Well, if I did, then you can have more music.
More James Brown.
Never not enough.
It's just great. You know, it keeps it going.
It's high energy.
It's funny because it's not really any, like... It's not really... Like, there's no chorus on the majority of the new James Brown stuff or the later... The transitional stuff. There's no, like, chorus. It's just him going, yeah! Break it down! Oh, yeah! It's just like... That's
so
what the
does
majority
he have
of
any
is.
Slow songs?
Like the earlier James Brown in the Famous Flames, like that era.
That was, you know, a little, I mean, bit
there's,
slow.
There
were
more
slow dance.
But even though there's a transitional time where he started being all rhythmic about
so,
it. You know what I mean?
Okay, this question is kind of weird, but
Wait, you might have to hold your question until...
What?
The famous Carolyn's News.
Oh my gosh.
Carolyn's News!
News segment. What's up, guys? I have a lot of news. What should I report first? Well, first of all, I haven't really told anybody this, but I will share with you on this radio show that, as you may or may not know, I did some illustrations comics for the White House earlier this year, and it was for healthcare.gov. You can look those up. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. And so that was really exciting, and I got to actually deliver the physical artwork to the White House, and it will be permanently in the Obama Presidential Library when that gets created. That's pretty epic. I mean, I don't think they're going to be like, as soon as you walk in, they're going to be like, oh, here's the healthcare illustrations. But it might be on view, or, you know, most likely not, but at least it's in a safe location and it will be preserved for years to come, which I think is pretty rad. What do you think about that, Joe? I mean,
historic.
It's going to be
part of history. Part of history. Anytime you're part of history, I think that's important.
Yeah, that's
to,
definitely
to make
awesome.
Something that's not trivial, I think, is really important. And you know, you're making something that people want to have, like, part of history of the Obama you know, Obama's making history, you know?
Yeah. I haven't like announced it online or told anybody, but I think listeners to this podcast will be...
They deserve it.
Yeah, you guys deserve that news first. And I don't really take much selfies, but I did take a selfie of myself, like, in front of the White House, like, outside, like, where the gates, where everyone else stands.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I live locally, and I did that, so I don't know what that says, but I don't know, it's kind of cool. It's all good.
Still the White House,
though. You gotta have, like, visual representation of that.
You do.
And, that's exciting. Also, I guess, you know, current day happenings going on right now. There is a show at Politics and Prose. It is called Cartoons, and it has been curated by Teresa Roberts Logan. And we have art up there. We have original Black Magic Tales art up there that has not been seen before. And I'm also happy to report that one of the Curls prints has been sold, and it's going global. The woman who purchased it is from, I can't remember the country now, but somewhere in Asia. And or like
such,
wait,
a small
where was it?
Such a small place. Such a small place.
I can't remember. But it's on the blog. I did report about that. But that's exciting, you know. I guess they come over every summer to hang out in America because they have relatives here, and she happens to frequent Politics and Prose coffee shop and wanted to purchase it. So it's already been taken off the wall because she needed to go back home. Oh, she's from Beijing. Now it came to me.
There you go.
Yes. The Curls is in Beijing, and it's going to be up in her house.
People love Curls in Beijing.
Dude, like, that's amazing to be like, my art has traveled further than I physically have.
Yeah.
Like, I think about that, and I'm like, it's pretty rad. It's a pretty good feeling. And yeah, Beijing taking over with the Curls, and she really like was giving me all these like really nice compliments, and she loves it. So I'm down with that. I need more fans like that, and that lady rules. So shout out to her. Yeah.
And to many other people.
Yes, and to many other people. Thank you for your support. I guess another update I can give you is my Kickstarter is still kicking away. The Kickstarter has ended.
What do you mean it's still
ended.
Kicking away? It's done.
Well, it's done, but it's not done for me.
The work is continuing.
The work is still ahead for me. But the
Kickstarter part is done.
Yes, the Kickstarter part is done. And, you know, honestly, I do have, like, you know, I was like, oh, the books, I have everything for the book. It's already laid out. Yes, that is true. But I still have, like, a lot more to do, and making, like, 600 buttons and crazy things. So yes, we still have a lot to do, and my goal is to send it to the printer in August. So, you know, I'll have to work on that even harder. And I've been doing a lot of the personal avatars that people have pledged on that pledge level too. So, you know, I'm cracking at it slowly but surely. I feel like after running a Kickstarter, it kind of takes like a month just to recoup. 'Cause that's like living on the internet, asking people to pledge a lot, and getting the word out. So it did take a lot out of me. I really will say, I needed to like not be on the internet for like 3 weeks after that. But it was fun. I actually am really happy that everything came through the Kickstarter. But that's pretty much what I'm working on. And we did a lot of stuff already. We've been to two weddings. One wedding to come this summer. So I feel like this is like a lot of weddings this summer for us.
What? Really?
Yeah, three weddings in over the course of
the weddings.
3 months or so.
It's really great about that wedding too. Or any, I don't know. Has it been three weddings?
Yes.
It's tough for me to think about that. All I can think about is James Brown.
I will say, I love going to actual weddings now. Like, I really do enjoy it. I think it's, like, a great time where, like, you know, people are coming together and being happy. But
well, we can only hope, right?
Well, yes.
Because really, what's the mentality of going into weddings now? I mean, because a lot of times, like, the mentality is, like, you're invited to a wedding. Unless you're part of, like, the wedding party, you have nothing to do but show up and eat, right?
Exactly. So it's like, you just it's show up and party. But if you are in the wedding party, there is, like, some level of representation. You have to present yourself. You have to shake people's hands and meet the other family, and
I always feel there's too
a
much,
lot to do.
I don't know why, but there's always a certain amount of drama that happens with weddings, and I don't understand it. I don't understand why it has to be like that. There hasn't been one wedding that where I've seen or not or heard about where there hasn't, or people getting married or after the wedding where they talk about stuff where there's this drama. You know, and there's always a drama that's going to happen, I feel like, with any putting on any type of show.
Yeah.
But I feel like specifically with weddings, there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't need to be there. Because it's supposed to be a place where people to get together, but then there's like a lot of this, like, you know, like, oh, everyone seems to be making some sort of message that doesn't need to be said.
Well,
it's just show up, man. Show up for the freaking party. Have a good time. That's what it's supposed to be. Celebration, right?
It is a celebration, but it is kind of hectic, and there is kind of like a mentality of gotta get stuff done, and you gotta there's like this pressure from, I don't know what source, but you know, you want to represent yourself best, and you want to have like your dream day. So, like, even if you don't want to be a bridezilla...
That's a lot of pressure just to have one day be your dream day. And it's also weird to me that...
It is pressure, but, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, how is it, like, it is not a normal day. You don't wake up being like, oh, today's just a normal day. I'm going to go about my normal routine. Like, it's like, a whole different thing.
But it still feels strange to me. What?
What's going on down there?
Nothing.
Are you looking at your phone?
No, I don't have my phone here.
Oh, okay.
Why?
I was wondering.
Is that distracting you?
A little bit.
Do you have to... Do you have to be...
What's going on?
I don't know what that was.
That was some crazy... Was that a ghost invasion?
I don't know. It probably was a ghost invasion. That's what happens whenever we're back on the scene, then technical stuff happens. Here's the thing, though. Like, whenever I'm on a podcast, whenever I'm on any type of show... What the... Get back together. Get back together. Here's the thing, though. Like, whenever I'm on any type of show, whenever I'm on any type of podcast, sorry about the technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen, but we're back. We're still here listening to James Brown.
The ghost
chilling.
Is here, too, probably.
But here's the thing. I always feel like maybe that might throw people off if they're, like, a guest on my show, or maybe if you're across from me, that, like, I technically do not need to make eye contact with you. I can be doing whatever it is, and my world is in these headphones. And I can still rebuttal towards anything that's happening towards you because I'm still listening. I'm still here, right?
Are you here?
No, you hear. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's.
You're
I always,
listening,
I feel
but you're
like
not looking.
I don't need to look. I can actually do. I can actually be sewing.
Are you swiping?
I can do sewing.
Are you on what's that app? The hot or not thing.
But like I can be sewing.
Tinder?
I can do anything
are you
that tindering? This is. I can be part of that conversation. And I don't know what happened that last technical stuff was. But the thing is, it's like I feel like there's a lot of unneeded drama that happens like on weddings that like just feel it feels like it's people aren't about they're about themselves other than
are you talking
the
about
wedding
like
in
the,
general.
Are you talking about like the bridal party or just people that are attending?
I feel like with the bridal party or any party. Any part of the anything that's going on with putting on the
like,
show.
Like the way I view it is that if you're not part of the main family or bridal party, like you're just there and you just show up. You don't have to do anything but put on a nice outfit.
Yeah.
That's it. You just gotta look good and that's it.
But a lot of stuff
you don't have to worry about pictures. Well,
well you do
you
have to worry about
in,
pictures.
Well, you wanna look good for pictures, but you don't have to worry about like actually having like a photo shoot.
Well, usually I feel like guys are when they go to the weddings, they're on the prowl. they're looking like, for that stuff. They're looking to get down with somebody there. I always feel like that's what weddings, you know, weddings guys will get drunk and then they'll try to get up with one of the women's there.
Hmm, interesting.
You never heard that? You never saw that? That's what happens?
Yeah, like Wedding Crashers or something.
No, not Wedding Crashers.
I've never saw that film, but I guess like
well, not
they
the film,
try
but just like in general,
up.
Guys, you know, they wanted. They're like, oh look, everyone's all dressed up. This is the perfect place to go hunt.
I'm gonna go hunt for some women at this wedding.
Exactly.
And then they already get to know who's single because of that garter bell toss.
Yeah.
So if they're paying attention, there you go.
But yeah, a lot of things have been happening since it's been such a long time since we've had the have just us talking on the podcast. But you know, a lot of things like you know
we've also had a funeral too.
Yeah, there's been a funeral, there's been a wedding, a funeral, traveling a whole lot. Let's see what we decide to talk about now. One of the big things has specifically been, like, we've been watching Tough Enough. Tough Enough has been that.
Tough Enough this week was pretty amazing because, well, first of all, Hulk Hogan is not a judge anymore. And so he has been replaced by The Miz. And, man, what happened today was pretty outrageous because I was not expecting that. Basically, what happened was, and it's been a few days, so if you haven't seen it by now, spoiler alert. But what happened was, man, The Miz put in his save and saved this chick named Amanda, who does look pretty and does look good, but she may not be, like, the one that she should have he should have saved. But apparently, I guess he saved her just because she's hot.
So that's been one of the things that, I guess, like, there's always a lot of buzz on. And you never see us comment on stuff, like, online about anything about that. But, like, on this podcast, we'll comment about it. So there's these... So looks, you know, looks against talent. You know, it's like looks versus talent versus likability. Like, those are all these things that have been battling with the people's votes here. What is your take on that, Carolyn? Because you see, like, Patrick, like, last week, he had, you know, he trained as a professional wrestler. And he's still training now, or he's doing working indies and stuff like that. Had all the potential in the world, can actually put on a match probably and do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Got voted off because of the
popular DC area.
He's from Washington, D.C. area. Yeah, Maryland, you know. So he got voted off, and that was a shock. That was a shock to the whole entire world because people are like, he can actually be a wrestler, but why did he get voted off? So there's a lot of that. It's a lot of these questions of like, well, are you just why are people in the popular vote not voting for that? Well, why are they doing this?
What do you think?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
The way I'm viewing Tough Enough right now is that it's just an entertaining show. Like, I'm not going to take it... Like, whoever the winner is, I'm not going to, like, take it in gold embossed and be like, oh my god, that person won Tough Enough. They're the champion. They're the best. They're the best out of all those contestants.
But it's
like,
supposed to be already... a potential, though, right?
Hmm?
They do have that potential. I mean,
yeah,
every chance
anybody,
is...
Actually, anybody on that show could step up and, you know, amaze everyone and just become a major superstar. Like,
it's all about being discovered.
The Miz came from a reality background.
Came from Tough Enough.
And then on top of it, he came from Real World.
Yeah.
So, like...
Then Daniel Bryan, NXT.
Yeah,
you know?
So you never know where the next talent is going to emerge. So, and when it comes to that, like, I am really... like, it could be anybody. So... You know, I throw my hands up in the air for that. But what's interesting about Tough Enough is that they have an app, and then also apparently you can vote on Twitter, and then or you could text in. I think they have three ways of voting. But basically, in the app, you basically download it, and then they give you the three contestants that are the bottom three each week, and then you can vote for who you want to save.
Yeah.
And or who do you want to see continue? And you know, when it comes down to that, you're asking. That's the people's vote.
It is the popular vote, yeah. The global vote.
Yeah, and when it comes down to that, there's this character on the show named ZZ, and he's very compelling, and he's a lovely dude. I think he's pretty young. I think he's like 19. He's not even a legal age yet. So, like, think about when you were, if you are 19, you know, it's like, that's a whole other level of thinking. And so he's very young, and he's from Louisiana, and he has a great personality, and he has, like, that accent, and he talks about wrestling gators and stuff like that. But he's not really in shape, and he's making some effort to be in shape this week, but then also apparently they caught him, like, napping or not working out when everyone else was at the gym.
Because you have to have the appearance of a pro wrestler. You have to be in shape for it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I did vote for ZZ to stay this week, but if I think about it from, like, who should get the contract perspective,
yeah,
then I probably would have voted for Maida, who got voted off.
Now, are you captivated by Tough Enough, or is this, like, in the same league as how, like, Ink Master and all those other shows were?
Well, I did enjoy watching Ink Master. The main reason why I started watching it is because of Dave Navarro.
But now you're watching because of Chris Jericho.
But no. But I will say, I will compliment Chris Jericho that he looks good. Like, every time when I see the Tough Enough opening, and then it, like, goes directly to the live thing with him and Renee.
Like, he is camera ready.
Like, every time I'm like, damn, Jericho. Like, every time I never think he's going to look bad, obviously. But every time I'm like, how can he look better? And then he looks better, like, each week. And I'm like, damn it. Like, you look good.
Like, I
even, like, Renee looks good, too. But I'm just like, dang, you look awesome.
I feel like this show, it's interesting because I'm always wondering, like, are they actually training or are they just doing these little, they're just doing these challenges? And they, you always got to do these challenges. There was challenges and all, I've watched all the Tough Enoughs.
How many seasons have they had?
I don't know, but I remember seeing all of them. And this is the first Tough Enough that it was presented like live, like The Voice. And like you have these, you know, you have them just like that, you know, because remember the last Tough Enough we found who watched had Arion. Remember with the, she's like, my favorite match is who is the what, that funk chick. Now I forgot her name.
Funk is on a roll.
Yeah, now I forgot her wrestling name. Cameron. Who is Cameron? She wasn't Tough Enough. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's where she came from. And everyone hated her because she was like, her favorite, Steve Austin was the host of the other Tough Enough and took place in that house. You remember that?
I remotely remember it, but I don't remember it as well.
Don't remember who won, did we?
No, who did win?
I forget. I totally forget who won that.
I didn't watch full season though. But I remember you showing me the clip of Arion.
I remember, yeah, it was Arion. That was what you remembered off of that. And like, you know, people were like, Steve Austin was like, so what's your favorite match? And then he was like,
of all time,
Alicia Fox versus Melina. And Steve Austin was like, that's your favorite match?
I mean, in a way, like, I can see that she probably is a now, big right? fan of Alicia Fox, you know, and like, she feels like she could be an Alicia Fox, you know? Like, it's very similar.
I remember profile. when they finally tagged up, like, people are like online, they're all like, oh my God, this must be your dream.
To wrestle your hero.
To be that and Melina in the same match.
That probably was her dream. I mean, I don't know, man. Looking back on it, it was a pretty stupid answer for, like, of all-time match.
But it was probably an honest answer, right?
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And now she's on Total Divas.
And looking back, I can feel like, you know, that was probably who she liked, you know?
Yeah.
Not everybody might like the top people.
And see, that's what's the challenge of the what's different. Because those shows was just down by the voting was just by Austin and the guests. But now you add the global vote to it, which is, of course, that's the modern thing. Because you want to be the most interactive as you possibly can these days.
Exactly. And then it gets the hashtag Tough Enough out there. Because then when each person votes, it's going to hashtag up whatever their conversation is. So, you know, it makes sense. But also,
the global vote,
did shake it up today with The Miz.
Yeah. But
this
week. That's what makes it interesting, though. Because he pulled out the save, right? He saved
Amanda.
Yeah. Why do you think he saved Amanda?
Because he looked straight like upset. He said a diva needs to have a certain look, and she's hot. That's pretty much it. Like, but as far as like wrestling wise or performance wise, she didn't really like contribute much, in my opinion.
Now watching this, do you feel like half of this is produced? Like majority of it is produced.
Do you think at the last minute they were like, Miz, you gotta save?
But even like the behind the scenes stuff when they're fighting and all that stuff, do you feel that's produced or that percentage?
Yeah, I think probably half of it is. Because they have, like, you know, the two people in the hot tub, and they probably set up a camera right there, and they're like, okay, interact in the hot tub.
It's just like, yeah, you guys are just going to, now you're going to be in the hot tub.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they don't get fed every single line, but they're like, hey, start up a conversation here.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a camera right on you, so, you know, who knows what you're going to say. So I think a little bit of it is improv, but I think it starts out as a scene, but then the characters or the potential WWE superstars, they have to make it happen.
What's interesting though that I do enjoy about that, they do make very compelling points, or there's compelling to me at least. I don't know, people can play tough and not realize, but like I feel like there's been a draw for each episode. There's been something to talk about with each episode, you know. And if there's not something to talk about with each episode, that's a weaker episode. Because remember, like even from the beginning, it's like you had that chick, was it Diana? Or yeah, who was all about like, you're like, you saw potential, but like all she did was talk about her how it's like, I would rather be getting my wedding ready. Remember that chick?
Yeah.
And everyone's all like, why are you here if you're all you're doing is talking about that? You know what I mean? That chick was the Arion for me in the beginning.
Was the one that everyone remembered first. Because they were calling her Princess Diana.
Yeah, because you can, yeah, you deliver that because you didn't, but at the end, you didn't really expect her just to up and leave, though she probably should have up and left because once she
left. That's what everyone wanted anyway.
Yeah, because she was talking so much game about not being in, wanting to be in the game. And to me, when I first heard that, she was like, I just want to be home. I don't want to be here. You know, when people are saying, I don't want to be here, Mm-hmm. It's like, fucking don't be there.
Well, what's interesting that's happening now is that ZZ is on the bottom three almost every week.
Every week.
Has there been a week where he wasn't? I think there was one week where he wasn't in the bottom three. But,
Well, describe ZZ for people who are not watching.
I did earlier. He's 19 years old. He's from Louisiana Bayou. And
he's not in shape. He's jelly.
Yeah, he's a little heavy, but he has a charming personality, and I think he really does care about a lot of people in the house, and he cares about his family, cares about wrestling gators and stuff. Like, I think he has a dream, but he's just not, like, physically ready.
So far, do you have any favorite episodes? Do you remember? Off the top of your head, it's usually the good ones.
I don't know, like, you know, each one, but I'm just saying, like, I memorize the characters more.
But
and
were there
I
moments?
Feel like ZZ has good moments. I mean, I feel like, yeah, he just, like, stands out as a personality, but I don't know if I yet see him as a WWE superstar.
And that's the big challenge, right? It's like seeing a personality, that's great, but then, like, also remember, this is something where you can get hurt in. You can hurt someone else. Professional wrestling is a team sport, and if you can't support the other person, you know, I mean, you can hurt them, and also you can hurt yourself, and that's not good for anybody.
But what's happening that's interesting now is all of these wrestlers who are the typical standard of excellence of WWE, like Patrick and Maida, you know, you could look at
them.
Excellence? I mean, maybe that's a high language to use, but when you look at them all in a row, you can be like, oh, those two are the most muscular guys. They have a look. They already have that down. They have moves down. They're athletic. You know, like, they do have that. And they actually have mentioned, like, to ZZ straight up, they're like, man, if you win and, like, I get kicked out, then that sucks. And then they have, like, a blowout about it. And those are the two guys that have left. So basically, like, I mean, I wonder what
ZZ... It's like, don't mess with ZZ, right? Yeah.
But also, you know what, ZZ, like, I do... He's probably my favorite character personality on the show. But I do find it interesting that if you're a fan of Mad Men and WWE, you'll realize that... I don't know if anyone has brought this up because I tweeted about it and no one, like, replied. So maybe it's just, like, a tweet that went out to nothing. But yeah. But I really think he looks like Don Draper's daughter, but, like, a male version of that.
That's true. He does. Like, he does look like...
Like
I forget what his
man.
Name is. What's her name? I forget her name.
I don't... Sally Draper.
He looks like you should do a meme. You need to do a meme where you put up Sally Draper and ZZ together.
That's what I need to
Sally Draper grown up becomes ZZ.
Sally Draper had a sex change.
You should so totally, like, do that. That'd be awesome.
But
I need to
have, like, a visual representation of that.
Yeah,
I just did the text.
You need to do the meme and make it out there.
Yeah, what should the meme say, or should it just be like a picture of both of them side by side? Be like, oh, little Sally.
Just say Sally grows up. Sally grows up to be tough enough. Sally changed her name to ZZ, and now it's tough enough.
Yeah, but they look so similar because also ZZ has like his hair in like a braid and stuff.
You need to do that
immediately.
If you do that, I'll make that as the graphic for this episode. That'll be the best way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's just, I personally, like, think, like, the first few times I saw him, I was like, oh my god, it's Sally Draper.
Like, it totally does look like Sally Draper now that I see it.
Yeah. So, and he has his hair in braids, and he, like, looks so innocent, you know, like, oh, ZZ.
See, here's the thing about the show, is that it's popular vote. It's all going to come down to popular vote. Even Paige said it. It's like, well, if you wanted Patrick to stay, why didn't you vote him to stay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's actually just as simple as that. And that's the thing, is like, it actually doesn't, none of it actually matters.
That's
if
what
you
I mean.
Connect
like,
with the, if you connect with the audience, really what I see it as, all that stuff, the activity, is just like it's just an audition to see if you can be a pro wrestler, because they can still sign you afterwards.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The Miz is still there. He
well,
didn't
they,
make it far.
Even like with
Daniel
any
Bryan's
reality
still there.
Show, well, didn't like some of the, like, I don't follow reality shows at all, but like, didn't some of the great American Idol people,
yeah,
like, who gotten like third or fourth or whatever place, like, actually have a better career,
yeah,
than first? So like, really what it matters is like standing out.
Because where's Maven? Where's Maven?
But you know what else is interesting, which I haven't... I'm not, like, a geek enough to go into tough enough and figure this out, but a lot of the wrestlers, they have... You know, all of them, actually, not a lot of them. Every one of them has a handle on Twitter that is, like, at tough and then their name.
Yeah.
And so it would be interesting to look up each person and see who has the most followers, because whoever has the most followers, that could be a formula for, like, the people that are actually voting for them and...
Yeah,
that popularity,
and then that, and even if they do get kicked off, that's another way of marketing, yeah, or just like maximizing. So this is the opportunity for them. People have been saying, or whatever, not people, but there's comments have been said about like the highest, the best thing that Tough Enough has ever produced is Nydia.
Yeah, Nydia was pretty rad.
Well, as like a winner,
Nydia,
because Nydia was a winner of Tough Enough.
That's cool. What's she doing now? Do we know? Update on Nydia.
I don't know. Maybe she has a restaurant or something like that.
That'd be cool.
Or she has a gym.
You know, it would be interesting also if the at tough blank name, you know, if that's actually owned by WWE, are they allowed to keep their followers like after if they're off the show?
I mean, I don't know. How do you get rid of followers?
Well, no, but can you translate that Twitter handle into your own?
I bet you can keep the followers. There's no way to just like get rid of that.
I know, but it's still under that handle unless you change the whole handle name,
you can't easily
I did change mine early on, yeah, on Twitter, so maybe those come with you.
No, you can change the handle,
but I just don't know if WWE can. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing.
I think like to me, it's been an interesting show. I still watch it every week, you know. Why not? It seems to be, it's a very compelling show. Anything but behind the scenes of wrestling, I'm totally into watching, just because I like the whole art form of professional wrestling in general.
I mean, I do see how hard a lot of them work, so it has given me like more respect to be like, oh, look, they work hard to be there. You know, it is kind of cutthroat to be there.
What are the characters that you've enjoyed so far? Besides like ZZ, have there been other ones?
Well, I did like when Maida, they had to go to a costume, I guess, closet type thing. Not like one person's closet, but like this big costume warehouse, yeah, that they use for movies and props and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was humongous. So, and they had like a time limit. I don't remember
an
what
hour.
The time. It was an hour.
That's the one where Seth Rollins visited them.
Yes.
And he's talking about, it's funny because he was talking character. About character. And then, of course, people are like, look who's talking about character. Seth Rollins doesn't even have character.
He does have a character, though. He's like a cocky dude.
Yeah.
So
it may not be The Rock or may not be like that, but he's not, defined.
Yeah. And but so they had to pick out their outfit, and I did like what Maida did. He had like this Egyptian god. So that was, or a king, I guess his, they got picked out words and his was like a king.
Yeah.
Or King of the Ring. That was what his word was.
Rinka King.
Yeah. And so he was like the Egyptian king, and I thought that he did a great job, and he was just like doing his yell that's like, ah, like intimidating people with his Egyptian outfit.
Yeah.
I thought that worked, though. Like, that worked for him.
But the comment people always made about that is, like, it's not the 80s anymore. You can't just be Mr. Intense Guy.
That's
can't just
true.
Be one-dimensional.
That's true, but he does have, like, that look. Like, I can see him in the ring, like, visually.
Yeah, you can see him in the ring. But will, like, you pay to see him in the ring? That's the real question.
But will you pay to see ZZ?
I mean,
what is your opinion of ZZ? Because I know I always talk about him. What do you think about him? I know you think he's out of shape.
The highest potential people I think that are going to win, and this is solely on likability, is Sarah and ZZ. Are they going to be able to be in ring shape? I mean, let's hope, because if they're not, they're going to hurt somebody. You know what I mean? That's the main worry. I think he's a cool guy. I mean, I wish he was in better ring conditioning. Because in a way, like, his shape, like, it's weird because, like, you know, you look at a Samoa Joe. You know what I mean? Is he super ripped?
No.
You know what I mean? But, he's
tough.
So he
has, like, a Samoan shape.
No, he doesn't have a Samoan shape, but he has, like... But if he can make... If he can be in shape, because, like, being... If he can be in ring condition to be able to put on a show and do all that, then that's great. But, like, looking ripped and doing all that... A lot of times, it's professional wrestling, man. You don't always have to be all ripped and looking... You know what I mean? Because Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Is he in super shape? Look at his brother, Bo Dallas. Is
probably,
he in super shape?
Probably Vince McMahon prefers them to be in
Is he? Yeah, but you can't.
Shape.
Probably not. Because they
you don't think so?
Well, they shape as in ring conditioning, but they don't always have to be super jacked. Because if you are super jacked, then everyone is super jacked. You know what I mean?
I guess you need a few characters that aren't super jacked.
Because, like, you know, yeah, exactly. You can't have, what's his name? Look at Kevin Owens, you know, the big star of the summer.
Yeah.
He's not in super awesome shape. No one is really in super duper amazing shape, as you know, but like you got to be in ring conditioning, which eventually also puts you in at least good shape.
So how long do you think it would take ZZ to get in good shape?
To get in good shape?
Yeah.
To be in ring shape?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what is his work ethic. If you work on it, you can be in awesome shape.
Because it seemed like they were showing segments of him actually working out, and I don't know if that was just like a 5-minute thing.
Yeah, but that could be easy. Like, I mean, you saw like 3 cuts of it. They can be like, do push-ups. Now do push-ups. And now do sit-ups. All right, good. Let's go.
Yeah, like, we got our footage of you doing something.
Yeah, exactly.
You're moving.
Cut it together. But like, perseverance and hard work will get you into shape.
Well, he did say he was eating a lot of chicken and water. He's like, I've been eating a lot of chicken and water.
Yeah, but you don't have to be eating that all day long.
Like, I don't know what else he's eating, but because it is defining. Like, everyone else does look like they're pretty solid looking.
But you know what's funny?
But then you see ZZ and you're like, oh, but he's like the top guy of popularity.
Here's the hilarious thing, though. Like, yeah, you look like that now. Like, even with all the female wrestlers and stuff like that, even anybody, it's like working out on the road is difficult.
You know, it is.
So like all the female, all the girls who are there now, they're all in great shape. But like, can they maintain that? Sorry, my accent's coming through. But
it's an easy accent.
Would they be able to maintain that on the road? You know what I mean? Because sometimes that changes too.
Yeah, so, I think it would be very hard.
Because
I'm traveling, I'm like, where's some healthy options? And there's very little.
What do you think about the judges? Are you a fan of Paige now, or are you dislike Paige? Because I remember you were like, I just don't like hearing her talk. All she does is talk.
Well, I didn't like her accent. I actually don't have a problem with her personally at all, but her accent, like when I first was hearing it, it was just kind of annoying to me.
Because she is like times 200 at this point on. This is the most you ever see her like talk at this point.
But now, like I noticed really in talk. This episode, she interrupts people a lot.
Yeah, I interrupt people all the time.
Yeah, you do. But like she interrupts people, but she has good things to say, so like she's kind of growing on me. Does that make sense? Like she has worthy things to say, so I feel like she's not just like wasting her breath.
Well, here's the thing though,
so she's worthy of being there, and I don't like dislike her, like I don't hate her or anything, but I did find her accent annoying at first, but that's nothing that she can really change.
I feel like
but she's just like, I'm Paige.
And also, but Paige also comes from, I mean, her life was professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Her family's professional wrestling. So if there's someone out there
she knows
who can judge someone, you know what I mean, about like, hey, you need to bust your ass and do this. It's pretty much, it's her and Daniel Bryan.
But I will say I am kind of happy that Hulk Hogan's not there.
Why is that?
I'd rather have The Miz than Hulk Hogan.
Hogan brought that legitimacy though, right? Because of his legendariness of.
I mean, he's such a legend, but like to me, his opinions like didn't really matter. Honestly, like it's just like whatever Hulk Hogan.
What like, do you mean whatever Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, like I don't.
He
like,
saw a little bit of himself in ZZ.
Yeah.
So there's some Hulk Hogan in ZZ. I don't know what that's saying. But
I don't know what that is.
Because also, remember, Hogan also...
Didn't Hogan want him off the show, though?
But so also, like, Hogan...
He's just saying that.
Hogan, when he was younger, was a fat kid.
Maybe that's what he sees.
Yeah, he was like, I saw a little of myself in him, brother. And you know, also, look at Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was never, like, a skinny guy, either. He was always, like, bulky. He's always, like, a big dude.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about Hulk Hogan right now, because, like, the reason why he's not on the show... If you guys aren't caught up, I'll just let you know. Like, he apparently has
a tape out there.
Well, you know, innocent until proven guilty or whatever. But there's a tape of him out there saying the N-word. And, you know, it doesn't come across very good.
Now the tape is him saying the N-word and the F-word, the 3-letter F-word, and all these things.
What's the three? Oh, I know what that is now.
Now we can't say anything, guys. We're not allowed to say anything out there in this world.
The thing that's crazy to me is that, like, first of all, seriously, I do not like the N-word. And that's probably why I don't listen to a lot of rap music, because I probably would listen to more if it didn't have the N-word in it. Like, I hear it all the time. And it's very frustrating to, like, be able to listen to music and then hear that word. And I know some people have a different stance on that, because...
Well, that's that culture,
right?
You know,
if they're black, then they're like, I can use it. But I don't actually want to hear it. I don't want to hear a black person say that. Or a white person. Or any person say it. I don't think it's a good word.
It's crazy because,
I don't think they should use it.
It's crazy because there's a section of people that, like, you know, like, we should erase that. And then there's the other section of them that
are like,
we're going to keep on using it all day. They say it to each other all day long.
Yeah.
So it's like, who is in the right here? It's like, it's part of your culture, but then you're against the culture. So it's like this internal battle.
It is, like, totally a back and forth.
But if a white orange guy says it,
Yeah.
In a meaningful way, he gets erased. My jokes. He gets erased from the world.
Steal my jokes.
But the thing is, though, it's also like, from what Hogan's saying and what everyone's saying, that was like a dark period in his life. And, you know, the people say that's not how he really is. You know, and I'm not really going to pass judgment. I just got to let that slide. Not slide. I'm just going to let whatever happens, happens.
Let it marinate.
But, like, the story that I've been told is, like, of course, that's, you know, because the tape.
It's damage control.
Well, also, the tape itself is Brother Love Sponge, who was supposed to be, like, his good friend back in that, in 2006, who let Hogan sleep with his wife. And then he filmed, and then they filmed it behind his back. And then these were the tapes they used. This is the tapes they discovered in a lawsuit. They found this extra stuff. They found it's bringing it back.
Why? First of all, why were they even recording it?
Exactly. So it's these things happening behind.
What bothers me,
these are the things happening behind Hogan's back when Hogan was like acceptable to be cheating on his wife with someone else's wife whose husband's in the other room, and then they're filming it. So it's all this stuff, it's all this bad stuff that, to me, it's like, well, okay, everyone was doing all this bad stuff, so of course bad stuff happens later on, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe that's the karma.
That's what the karma is. Even though it was a dark time, you know, it's like, you know, you made all these choices and you sort of got to deal with it now. Whether you are, that's how you are now or not, it's like they sort of come back.
But what I'm getting at is that, like, you know, bad word aside or whatever, like, that was said in a private conversation.
That was filmed. Yeah, that was filmed against them.
I don't know why it was
them.
Filmed, but, like, it's still,
well, you know,
like,
you do know why it's filmed. To use against Hogan as well.
And he didn't know he was being filmed?
No.
So that's pretty shitty that somebody did that.
Maybe it was surveillance camera. So
I have no idea.
So Brother Love Sponge wouldn't be able to, like, check. So just in case something bad happens.
But why would he, like, let his wife, I don't know who his wife is, but, like, why would... It's Why would
some,
he go through
it was just
all
some
that?
Big titty brunette back in the day, you know? His ex-wife now.
Oh, that's probably why then.
So I don't...
Who knows what happened? All I know is that whole thing sounds cray.
You know, because he's like some big, you know, like fat DJ guy. Big guy, you know? I guess he has what people would say, like, is a hot wife with big boobs. I don't know how that situation works. It's that world.
And then she,
you know,
was like, I want to have Hulk. And he's like, okay.
Or Hulk is like, let me have this dude. Or I don't know what that situation is, but apparently it didn't work out in the end, guys.
Well, yeah.
Lots more money was left. Because, like, from what I heard, since WWE had to scrub Hogan out of existence, they lost $50 million from that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, if you're, like, at a level, like it or not, if you somehow get this fame that's, like, to a Hulk Hogan level, or, like, a fame that, like, everyone in America or further, like, knows who you are, like, globally. Like, you really do have to have... I know people are like, oh, I'm not a role model. I don't have that responsibility. But you really do have that.
They just don't want
to
take...
But it's like, like it or not, you have that responsibility if you want to be a leader.
But the thing is, though, that Hogan, you know, he tried to... You know, those are things that are, of course, done behind closed doors and was done through lawsuits and closed... This is closed evidence that was somehow leaked out. To
the
National
Enquirer. I don't know how that happens. Honestly.
So people are trying to figure out why that happened and how it, now why is
well,
it?
Well, we didn't also
now?
Say there's another twist to the story. Is we didn't also say the reason why he was using the N-word is apparently because he was talking about he has a daughter named Brooke, who I don't know her age, but she's a young woman and she was starting a quote unquote music career, and I've seen a few of her albums at Best Buy like 5 years ago. I can't really say that the music is that great.
Number 32 on the Billboard charts back then, I guess.
I mean, I can't really say it's really that great, but also, like, I'm not trying to diss her because, like, I'm not a great singer, but I'm also not, like, aiming to be a great singer. But
she's a pop singer, too, though, so you can manufacture that.
I mean, yeah, you can, but, you know, I don't want to, like, diss her dreams. But apparently, you know, she has a music career, and apparently Hulk was upset that she's hooking up with, like, some multi-billionaire who happens to be black, and he was calling him N-word and stuff, and then he was saying, like, how he wished, you know, if she's gonna be with that she would be with, like, a basketball player instead. So, like, to me, that's, like, no, like, race aside, that's just, like, all you care about is status, then.
Well, that's
know?
The thing
Which
is that,
sucks.
That's the thing like, is, oh. Back then, I feel like that's what all Hogan was thinking about was, like, status, because, you know, from what people say, like, you know, like, his body was breaking down, and now he's not able to perform, so he's trying to think of other ways, and you know, there's just that thing where everyone's always said, like, he's just Mr. Business and all about making money and stuff like that. You know, that's true. That's how a lot of people are. That's what business...
But it is pretty cruel when it comes down to it. It's like, Man, you know what? But I do feel bad on certain angles because it's like, well, you know, it's like you reap what you sow, and if that's like, that's how he acts like in a personal conversation. That's probably how he feels. You know,
exactly. That's what it is.
Because like, it's not like he went up to a mic and was like, oh, you know, blah 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 blah, this is how I feel about this race. You know, like,
it's almost in a way that real you is the one that's being, is this the one where you don't act, or the way you act without cameras being around, yeah, and stuff like that.
So. And that kind of sucks to know that, like, personally, he's not, he never was, like, my hero or anything, but so many people really, he was a hero to so many, and it kind of does suck to know that that's how he is in real life, you know, like, if I, you know, I'm just trying to picture if my heroes did that, I would be pissed off, because I would be like, man, I thought you were better than that, you know, like,
yeah.
And now I know you're a racist, and now I know you're a horrible person.
Well, he says he's racist to a group, he said, I'm racist to a degree.
But, I mean, everyone is, to a degree, in a way. So maybe, is this like, should we give him a pass? Or like, it's not like he's out there like trying to murder, or he's like black people, or he's not like in the KKK or something. So it's like one thing to say a word, and it's another, and you know, he probably I feel like he treats black people fine. He probably has, yeah, black friends and everything.
He does.
So, but
Dennis,
he has a whole lineup of them. Maybe he just doesn't want them involved with Brooke, you know? So I don't know. It's a kind of like an old school way of thinking.
I mean, he's a parent. It was a dark moment of his life. He's already cheating. You know what I mean? He's doing bad things.
As he's cheating with his wife.
Like, because there was a dark period. Because that's all you'd hear was a dark period in Hogan's time. Like, you know, going through a divorce, has all this money, the reality show, people are breaking down. There's all these things we can say that maybe that wasn't Hogan and stuff like that. You know, that's fine. But at the end of the day, it's like, my life will go on. I don't really care.
I mean, I really don't care either, but
it sucks. It sucks for him.
He's probably like,
it sucks for people to do that. Yeah, it sucks that all that stuff happened, and you know, hopefully he's able to, you know, I don't want him to die or commit suicide. So hopefully works out better and he's able to rebuild that, you know, but if all that stuff happened, it happened. You can't really deny it, but you can maybe that's why people go to jail, so they can rehabilitate and be different on the way out. So,
but what really is crazy though is like,
you know, and also
Brooke, I feel bad about.
Brooke posted her images of her and her dad, like her, like on her Facebook. She did like a little a montage of like her dad hanging out with like black people and like,
oh gosh,
and like, and Make-A-Wish people and like.
I mean, I'm sure he'd probably like. He probably isn't racist, like, in person, like, face-to-face, but he probably just didn't want his daughter dating one black
probably
guy. I don't know, but, like, but it's crazy to me, though, that, like, even so, he still has, like, a career that he's worked on for, like, several years, like, decades, like,
yeah,
like 30 or 40 years, I don't know how many years, but several years, and to have it all washed away, like, the ocean just washes it away just because of a few comments that he happened to say. Maybe he was in a mood and he was just like really disapproving of Brooke, like, you know, like, and it sucks also in a way, like, I've also thought about it from Brooke's perspective. Maybe I have too much time on my hands when I'm like thinking and designing during the day, but like, I've thought about it from Brooke's perspective because I'm like, you know, if it wasn't for her hanging out with like that particular man, you know, maybe Hulk Hogan would have never said that, you know, and it's all because of her, you know, when it tracks down. But then it does still suck that he was, like, cheating on his wife, and he broke down his whole family. So when it comes back, I guess the karma comes back to Hulk Hogan, you know, and it does suck because now he's, like, not in the Hall of Fame anymore. He's not, like, listed on the website. He's basically been Chris Benoit to a lesser extent, but he was, like, the top dude. Like, everyone knows who he is. My parents even know who he is. Like, my parents don't know who The Miz is, but they know who Hulk Hogan is, you know? My parents probably don't even know who Steve Austin is, but they know who Hulk Hogan is.
What's that saying from The Dark Knight, where it's like, you live to see yourself become the villain, something like that? You know what I'm talking about?
I think so. But it's just so crazy, because, like, Hogan has led, like, a pretty crazy life, probably. If you look back on all his indiscretions and everything, it was probably a crazy life. And now to see it pan out like this does kind of suck, because, like, your heroes have fallen. Like, this year, I feel like so many heroes have fallen. I know it sounds silly, but, like, Bill Cosby has fallen this year, and everyone has been known about that for years, but apparently it's, like, been official now. So we have Bill Cosby going down, Hulk Hogan going down, Jared from Subway going down. So many people just dropping like flies this year. It's pretty crazy. And those are all major players. Maybe not Jared from Subway, but...
Well, it goes to show you also that, like, you know, seize the day. You gotta live each day as it's going to be. And also, a lifetime has many stories of ups and downs. You could be great one day, or you can be horrible the next day. These are just parts of what your overall story is. But always try to be the best person you can, right?
Yeah. That's a good goal to have.
Because no matter what, you're always going to have a bad day. You're guaranteed to have bad days, eras.
Hogan and Bill Cosby have had some bad days, but those were bad decisions on their part.
Bad decisions, bad days lead to bad decisions. Bad decisions lead to bad days. You know what I mean? Just be the best you can.
Yeah, I mean, there maybe
think about what you're doing.
Like, to me, like, a bad day would be like getting a speeding ticket.
Because then that ruins your day, right?
Yeah, but not like drugging people. And doing stuff with them.
But see, like, at the end of the day...
It's so vicious.
But let's think about it. Like, at the end of the day, not hosting Tough Enough, not being all over the place. You know what? It's not like...
Maybe that's what Hogan needs.
Yeah.
He needs to just go away.
It's like just to have a break.
And then he'll make a comeback.
Because at the end... Yeah, because it's not like he never made it that high. It's like, really...
Yeah,
when
he made it
to
the highest point
possible. When you reach that peak, then you just... All you can do is fall.
That's true.
Just like in Mad Men.
Pretty much.
No, but like, you know... You just gotta keep rolling. Just gotta keep rolling, right?
Yeah. Being the best.
There you go,
and
Liz.
And also not hurting people in the process.
Yeah, best is not to, like, hurt people anyway. Bad things lead to bad things. That's that's what it comes down to. But keep voting. Vote for our show.
You can rate us.
Rate us.
Yeah. On iTunes.
Exactly. Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been today's show. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at StrayProductions.com. Check out my work at JoeCarabello.com, also One-Shots.com, GoAstray.tumblr.com, and check out SoundCloud Mr. Bandit. SoundCloud.com/Mr.Bandit. Check out Carolyn's work, CurlsHeavenStudio.com, and also Curls comes out every Monday, her cartoon, the greatest cartoon ever. Bringing smiles to the world. Curls-studio.com/curls. Also, check out her work at CarolynBelevsky.com. CarolynBelevsky.com. Check us out. Check out this show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, CarolynAndJoeShow.com.
It feels so good to, like, have a full talking episode.
And we're probably going to keep on rolling with this stuff. We'll be checking you out. We'll check out your show, too. Let us be on your show. Why are we not?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for talking to me,
right.
Joe.
Hey, thanks for talking to me for once.
For once in a while.
Give me the time.
Give me the time to
share my mind. This is how we do it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
This has been the Carolyn Joe Show. Be excellent to each other. See you, Carolyn.
Bye.